is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the first verse. We are in this series entitled Running with the Giants. Running with the Giants. And our foundational scripture for the entire time has been Hebrews 12 and 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witness, the writer says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with... Okay, I'm going to try that again like it didn't even happen. I'm just trying it again like it didn't happen. And let us run with patience. There you go. There's my class. With patience, the race that is set before us. And so it says wherefore, and anytime you see the word wherefore, you know, you begin to ask questions. They're really referencing Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter talks about the greats of faith is what I like to call them, or the champions of faith that have gone on before us. And one translation actually says that they're in the stands and that they're cheering us on. So what we said is, what would it look like if, you know, throughout this series, we took one champion, one great of faith, and we were able to pull him or her out of the stands and just take one lap or with us, you know, what are the things that they would talk to us about? And of course, we've talked about Joseph already. We've talked about Jacob already. And today, I want to talk to you about an interesting character. Now, when I say character, I don't want you to take that the wrong way, because these were real people in the Bible that had real encounters. Does that make sense? But the person I want to talk to about in the Bible today is Jonah. Everybody say Jonah. Now, what do you know about Jonah? Anybody know anything about Jonah? He got swallowed by a big fish. He was in the belly of a whale. That's right. All right. So I thought that this would be a really leading up into the first of the year. I thought it would be a great lesson to talk to you about today. And I'll be honest with you, Jonah made a lot of bad choices in life. But how many know sometimes those of us that have messed up the worst can teach us the best? Isn't that right? Yeah, we can learn, we can learn a lot, you know, and so some people, everybody has their own ideology about what's the greatest teacher. Some people say experience is the greatest teacher. You got it? And there's certain things that I'd rather learn from your experience than me to go through it. Does that make sense? But I personally believe that Holy Spirit, you got it, is the greatest teacher. Does that make sense? So I think that Jonah, he made some bad choices, but if you would understand his life, he had the heart of God. And in this situation, I believe that what Jonah would say to you is, even though you made a bad choice, God always gives you a second chance. Bottom line. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Even though that you made a bad choice, I believe that God will always give you a second chance. And I believe that that is what Jonah would say to you on today. I believe that's what he would say. Did anybody see my post yesterday on Facebook? Somebody grab it real quick. Who's the fastest on Facebook? Whoever's the fastest on Facebook, grab it and bring it to me. Now, I don't have any money on me, all right? So this is just for just free will. I posted something on Facebook yesterday, and I thought about it. Now somebody run. All right, thank you, Janie. It says, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this. You, my beautiful friend, are not that powerful. Yeah. Isn't that good? You have not blown God's plan for your life because you're not that powerful to blow God's plan for your life, because how many know that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not ours, but his are higher than ours. In other words, God is just saying, I'm smarter than you. Does that make sense? But he's saying, I'm not going to come down to your level of thinking. You have to come up to my level of thinking. I'm not going to come to your way of doing things. I need you to come over to my way of doing things. If you remember last week, we talked a little bit about take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, all right? That's going to be very important next week, but I'm not going to get into that lesson. It's going to really bless you, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss next week. All right, now look at your second choice, your other neighbor. I don't know why they didn't choose you first. Say, but pay attention today. Jonah, the first chapter and the first verse. Jonah, the first chapter and the first verse. Let's get right into it. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah did what, class? Ran away from the Lord and headed where? For Tarshish. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria in biblical times. Today it would be northern Iraq. Now Tarshish was on the coast of Spain. So literally God says, I want you to go northeast, and Jonah heads southwest. Anybody ever went in the opposite direction of where God told you? Everybody in the room. You got it, so you don't even have to raise your hands, all right? Now, I kind of get it when you understand the backdrop. You know, really, Jonah's like, man, them folks are crazy. Them folks are wicked, you understand? You know, like, they're like savages, you understand what I'm saying? Like, if you don't do what they want you to do, they just kill you and keep on going. You got it? But it doesn't matter, because that was the instructions that God gave him. And so the Bible says that he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to do what? To flee from the Lord. You never want to run from the direction from God. You always want to run to God. Isn't that right? Even when you mess up. Even when you make mistakes. I totally disagree, you know, with, you know, people, they mess up and then they stop going to church. You got it? In my opinion, that's the place you need to go. Does that make sense? You got it? Now, I totally understand why some people do run from the church. You got it? You know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but, you know, how do you say? You know, because they don't want to come and be the subject of what's going on in church that day. Does that make sense? And sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, when someone has done something wrong, we're so critical, we're so judgmental, we're so over the top with somebody that instead of bringing them, because the Bible says with loving kindness have I drawn you, you end up pushing people away. You got it? But my thing is, if you messed up, if you blown it, come to 102 Washington Post Road, come to Without Limits Christian Center, this is the place to come. We're going to give you the Word of God, because the Word of God is an incorruptible seed, and it'll absolutely change your life. You got it? And so, you know, Pastor, you're condoning sin. No, I'm not condoning sin, I just know grace is greater. That's a good place right there to talk about Jesus. No, grace is great. You can't do, see, the thing about grace is you can't do anything good enough to deserve it, but you can't do anything bad enough to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace. And the Bible says, you know, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So if grace saved all of us, grace can save anybody. Does that make sense? So let's keep reading. He says, let's pick up at verse 4. Is that where I was? All right, let's pick up at verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, and the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were what? Afraid, and each cried out to his own little G God. And watch this. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Now, I want you to remember something before I go any further. Every decision we make costs something. Every bad decision we make costs somebody else something. You got it? So I like to say life is choice driven. You are where you are because of the choices that you made in the past. And a lot of times we don't understand that the choices I'm making aren't just affecting me, but they're affecting everybody else around me. Does that make sense? So the Bible says, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. So now Jonah has messed up. He has ran from God. He gets on this boat. Things start going crazy. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, these guys are praying to their gods. We see it, you know, that their God wasn't the God, because nothing happened. You got it? So they're praying to their gods, and they said, we'll throw some stuff over the ship. And Jonah is in the bottom of the deck snoring. You understand? Brother man is tired. You got it? And if we're not careful, you got it? How do you say this nicely? Sometimes we can be so unconscious of a bad choice that we make. Does that make sense? Every decision we make has impact. And every decision we make is somehow making us. So the big question today is, are our decisions we're making drawing us closer to God, or are they drawing us further away from God, as we see in the book of Jonah? So there's this big crisis, thank you, that is going on, and Jonah has made these bad decisions, and so now, you know, there's this violent storm, everything is going on, and then all of a sudden, Jonah wakes up, and he realizes, oh man, this is all my fault. Have you ever, like, a day or two after realized, man, this is all my fault? Some of us, it takes a week to realize it's all my fault. And some of us, it takes a few months and some a few years. But, you know, you, at some point, you come to yourself and say, it's all my fault. And so I want to talk to you about how to recover from bad choices for the next few minutes. I want to talk to you about the how to recover from bad choices, because Jonah says, if I could share anything with you, I would let you know that God always gives second chances, that he's a God of another chance. So when you make a bad choice, there's a way to recover from a bad choice. And so let's talk about how to recover from bad choices. I've got just a few simple points. We'll put number one on the screen. Number one is take responsibility for your bad choice. Take responsibility for your bad choice. Now, that's one you don't want to look at your neighbor at. You just want to keep looking at me and let the Holy Spirit deal with them, all right? All right? So take responsibility for your bad choices. And so now Jonah wakes up. He realizes, okay, this is not good. This is totally my fault. Jonah, the first chapter, if you drop down to the 12th verse, watch what he says. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now, I mean, I just think that you have to have, you know, a lot of sincerity and a lot of heart to say, my bad. You got it, like, my fault. You understand what I'm saying? You know, how many happily married couples do I have in the building? If you're married, you better raise your hand. Okay, I'm just trying to help everybody in the room. If you're married, you better raise your hand. All right? And so, you know, but how many of us have ever had a spit spat with each other? All of us, if you marry, all of us in the room, right? You got it? But watch this now. But the key to these spit spats and, you know, going back and forth and hopefully yours wasn't too bad, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, that's why you need the Holy Spirit to help lead you and guide you, you know, because the enemy will sit there and put something in your mind and say, tell her this. You got it? And then you say it, and then he'll jump over on her shoulder and say, well, you tell him this. You got it? And kind of go back and forth. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And but have you ever, you know, husband and wives, after the spit spat, after it was all over, after you calmed down, after your blood pressure went back to normal, you realize it was really your fault. You got it? And so watch this. So the key is following through and saying, hey, that's my bad. You got it. Hey, that's my fault and those kind of things. And so, and ladies, I like to try to, you know, give you a little bit of spiritual guidance along this as it relates to marriage counseling and that thing. You know, when the brother comes to you and says, my bad, when he comes to you and says, hey, that's my fault, just accept his apology just like that. Don't be like, see, that's what I was trying to tell you in the first place. And if you'd have just listened, because then it's going to start something all over again. Can I get a... All right, Proverbs 28:13 in the Living Bible says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, what happens, class? He gets another chance. So he says, so the Bible says, a man who refuses to admit his mistake, you can never be successful. He says, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. And I'm so glad that he's the God of another chance. He's a God that he gives me a brand new day and he gives me brand new mercies. You got it? And maybe that's not big to you, but by last night, I used up all of last night's mercy. When I woke up this morning, I was so grateful that I had a fresh batch of mercy for me today. Amen? And so, you know, and that's, you know, 1 John 1:9, that was written to the believer. You know, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put me at the back of the line. It just puts me back in line. Does that make sense? All right. Now, a wise man made a statement and said, you're not a failure until you start blaming others for your mistakes. So, the whole thing about a mistake is you learn from the mistake. If you learn from the mistake, then you overcome the mistake, and the mistake doesn't overcome you. You got it? But you're never a failure because you make a mistake. You're not a failure until you start blaming everybody else for your mistake. So let's get back into it with Jonah. They throw Jonah overboard, and I love God. And if you don't think God has a sense of humor, you just need to read stories like Jonah, because the Bible says that God provided a big fish to swallow him. You got it. So, you know, I mean, Jonah messes up, You got it. And he does wrong. And even though he runs from God, we serve this God of grace. We serve this God of mercy that says, I'm going to get you out of it. But the way God gets him out of it, he said, I'm just going to send this big old fish to swallow you up. Now, I when I was a little kid, I think it was Hannah used to always ask me, what's your favorite mammal? Was that Jay or Hannah? One of them used to, Jay, ask me, what's your favorite mammal? As a kid, I remember like in the third grade, I don't know if you all remember in the third grade, now in schools, they have TVs all over the place and big HD TVs. But we had, the little small box TV that sat on the stand that the teacher rolled it in. So, you went to lunch, and if you came back from lunch and she was rolling in, you're like, oh, it's on right now. You got it. We about to watch us a movie. You got it. Even if it's black and white, it's going to be all right. You understand what I'm saying? And so, anyways... Don't say that. Just keep going. And so, I remember, though, in the third grade, we watched this documentary, and even though it was a documentary, we were just happy because the teacher wasn't teaching and we were watching a movie. You got it? But it was on humpback whales. And if you know anything about humpback whales, they are ginormous. You got it? My wife and I went to Hawaii several years ago. Was it like our 10th anniversary or 12th anniversary? And because this December, we have been married 20 years. Praise the Lord. All right? And so... We went to Hawaii, and it was during the time of year where the humpback whales were there. So we were able to get on this boat, and we went and we saw the dolphins, and they swim with you, and that was kind of cool. But it was not until, I'm the guy that always sees stuff. And so, the guy says, we may run into some humpback whales, and way over on the other side of the sea, I'm like, I think that was a humpback whale, right? And so, we're driving that area, and sure enough, we saw one, then we saw another one, and we went out another day on the boat, and I don't know if you remember, but the humpback whale came right up. We were under the water? No, there was one day where, remember, we were riding, and he came up he was like up under the boat, y'all. So we're like looking over the bow of the ship, and then the humpback whale, had he not moved over a little bit, we could have like tipped. And that joker was so big. See, I have no problem believing that God provided this whale for Jonah, because the one that we saw, me, you, and a couple of other people could have fit inside of him. You understand what I'm saying? But I think that, God has a sense of humor. He could have calmed the sea. You understand what I'm saying? Because we've seen him do that before. He didn't calm the sea. He gets Jonah's attention and provides him, Jonah, I have a whale for you. And so Jonah goes into the whale. So let's keep rolling with this, because I want to make sure I get to the right spot at the right time. We said how to recover from a bad situation. Number one, take responsibility for your bad choice. Take responsibility for your bad choice. Everybody say number two. Number two, repent and turn away from the bad choice that you make. Repent and turn away from the bad choice that you make. I know we all come from different backgrounds, and some of us come from, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, some of us grew up in Baptist churches, and, some of us were in Catholic churches, just all kind of, but let me tell you from a biblical standpoint of view of what repentance is. This is what repentance is. This is what repentance is. Y'all ready? It's going to be deeper. Y'all ready? All right. Put your thinking caps on. This is what repentance is. That's what repentance is. Repentance is I'm going in this direction, and I make up my mind that I don't want to go in that direction anymore, and I start heading in the right direction. That is what repentance is. You understand? And I always tell people, hear me now, I always tell people that when you repent, you got it, and you turn away, God always steps in to help you. Because some people say, you don't understand this. What I'm dealing with is just too much, or I'm so far into it. The moment you turn away, you got it. God steps in. He begins to help you. He begins to lead you, and he begins to guide you. So Jonah is in this big fish. He realizes it's his problem. It's his bad choice that he made. And so, he's repenting, and he starts praying to God. Jonah, the second chapter, in the ninth verse, and of course, I'm jumping around because I can't give you all this in 25 minutes. So Jonah, the second chapter, in the ninth verse, he begins to talk to God, and he begins to, pray, and he says in 2 and 9, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. In other words, he's planning on God getting him out of this situation. He watch what he says. What I have vowed, I'm going to do what? I'm going to make good. And so, Is that not right? But I will, with shouts of praise, sacrifice to you. I will say salvation. Oh, we just missed the middle piece in that. But what I have vowed, I will make to you. And that is pastor's fault. So don't look at the back, all right? Because I send them my lessons. And so I see what I did. Praise the Lord. I highlighted it. And normally, I always take my highlights away because y'all don't need that part because that's my part. But y'all needed that part. So just listen to pastor. But I will shout with shouts of grateful praise, with sacrifice to you. He says, what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from. So when I ask for forgiveness, I'm asking from the Lord. Does that make sense? So somebody doesn't want to forgive you. Well, there's nothing I can do about that because ultimately salvation comes from the Lord. Acts 3rd chapter and the 19th verse, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And so repentance means simply going back in the right direction, all right? Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Repentance means, now if you're going to tweet this, if you're going to snap it, if you're going to book it, make sure that you get it right, all right? Or gram it. Repentance means that you change your mind so deeply that it changes you. That's what true repentance is, that you change your mind so deeply that it changes you, all right? So let's get through this. We said that how to recover from a bad choices. Number one, take responsibility for your bad choices. Number two, repent and turn away from the bad choices that you made. And then number three, which I love, embrace God's grace. Embrace God's grace, all right? Jonah 3:1, this is probably the best verse in Jonah's whole story. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He's the God of a second chance. And so even though God had already told him what he wanted to do, Jonah's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go fool with them folks. He goes and gets in disobedience, causes this big uproar. Other people have to suffer because of his bad mistakes. The moment he repents, he embraces God's grace. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. Hebrews 4:16. They'll put it up on the screen. There it is. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help when, class, in time of need. All right? And so you have to understand that God is a loving father, all right? He is not, Ben, let me have your chair. All right, right here. All right, now you just turn around and you just come back. All right, but don't look at me though. All right, so, why are y'all laughing? So, Ben, don't look this way, but mess up if you want to. Don't flinch to the left. Don't flinch to the right, Ben. And you sure better not laugh. Why are you laughing? That's it. Boom. Get the chair, Ben. That's not how God is. And there was a time in my life, let's get out of here, Courtney, because I got a lot left, but this is a good place to stop. There's a time in my life I thought that that's how God was. I really did. You got it? And I'm not blaming anybody, not blaming, you know, because it was the way they would preach. And now just forget about that. Just the way I understood, I just thought that that's how God was. I thought that I served this big God who was super powerful, and he is big and he is super powerful. But I thought he was this God that was just, you know, like, was waiting for me to mess up. And if I mess up, boom, I'm going to get you. And then, you know, you kind of get yourself back together and you start heading back in the right direction. And he's just waiting for you to mess up again. And so he can, boom, get you again. There was one point in my life, I was like, man, serving God is just too hard. It's just too many rules. It's just too many regulations. All you hear is you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do that and you can't do that. I'm like, God, I'm like 17, 18. Like, I'm never going to make it to 92 and get to heaven, you understand? But I learned that's not who God is. I learned that we serve this God of great grace. That he's this big God, but he can do anything but fail. And under that anything, he can help me, he can lead me, he can guide me, he can protect me, and he can get me right back on the right road. And so when I begin to learn that, it began to change my thinking about God, and I realized that it wasn't about religion, but it was about relationship. That God wanted to have a relationship with me. That it wasn't just, you just better come on Sunday, you better read your Bible, and you better not mess up, and those kind of things. But to the degree that I would develop a relationship with God, it seems like it was easier to serve God. The more I developed a relationship with God, the less I wanted to do those things anyways. The more I developed the relationship, and that's what it is. So it's not about religion. Well, I did this, and I did that, and I did that, because it's never about works. Because the writer says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a future, and to give you a hope. So in closing, because I got to get out of here, if I could tell you a few things, I would tell you not to let bad choices define you. Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Next thing I would tell you is, I would tell you to don't let bad choices disqualify you. Jonah repented and it put him back in line. See, sometimes it's just that we need to repent and we just need to get it right with God. But can I go a little bit further? Not only do we have to get it right with God, sometimes there's people we offended, and we need to go to them, and we need to get it right with them. But can I give you a little bit of wisdom when you go to somebody to apologize? Never ruin a good apology with a bad excuse. Does that make sense? Now, just apologize. I'm sorry, but you see what happened. No, you messed everything up. You got it. And so, there's three things you have to do to safeguard against making bad decisions. Number one, use God's word to guide you. His word's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. And when you're making choices, you have to ask yourself these three questions. Are my choices God-honoring? How will this affect my spiritual health? And how will this decision affect the people closest to me? That's how you know if you're going to... If you take a picture of that. Are my choices God-honoring? How will this affect my spiritual health? And how will this decision affect the people closest to me? Just leave that up on the screen. Don't even move that for a minute. Let me talk about that for a second. Oh, I'm good. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I got time. I got a few more minutes. Are my choices God-honoring? So in the beginning, forget about people. Because how many know I can get off by myself and do something? You never know that I did it. Am I right about it? And then, watch this, and then come out from whatever I was doing, and you never knew that I did it. Am I right about it? You got it? But see, in true integrity is not what I do right in front of people, it's that I do right when nobody's around me. Does that make sense? But let me help you. Even though people aren't around, God's always around. David said, you are everywhere. So that's number one. Are they God honoring? And then number two, how would this affect my spiritual health? Is this good for me spiritually? Is this good for me spiritually? And then number three, how would this decision affect the people that are closest to me? And so you can't be so selfish or self-centered that you can't be concerned about the people that are around you. Because as the pastor of this church, I understand the decisions I make affect everybody. And of course, pastors never... y'all know me. I tell you, I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue, right? So I understand that, you know, people have issues. So I'm certainly not perfect. You got it. But I am striving for perfection. What does that mean? That every day I wake up and I just want to give God my very best. You got it. That I want to give, because I understand the decisions I make, they affect you all. Like, y'all don't want to see me in the paper for doing anything crazy, right? I mean, tell the truth. Don't lie to me now. You don't want to see me in the paper, you know, like, not my pastor. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. Stealing boxes on his day off, not my pastor. You understand? Like, I don't want to see that kind of stuff. Why? Because, watch this, because the decisions I make, they don't just affect me, but they affect my wife, they affect Jay, they affect Hannah. They affect my immediate family, rolls over into my church family. Watch this, And so you, watch this, in a sense, you got it, because you don't put your trust in man, you put your trust in God. We all know this. But you are hoping that pastor is going to make good decisions. Don't play me like, don't play me like you ain't hoping that pastor, like that's why you're here, that's why you joined this church, because you believe you have a man of God that has integrity that's going to do it the right way. Can I get up? Well, guess what? Guess what? Just like you are dependent on me to make right choices, I'm dependent on you to make right choices. Just like I represent WLCC, you represent WLCC. Does that make sense? All right. And then the last, well, as a matter of fact, I think that's good. The last one talks about seeking godly counsel. Thank you. I won't get into that one. But this is what the scripture says. If you hang around with the wise, you'll be wise. It says, but if you hang around with fools, watch your life fall to pieces. So keep hanging around wise people. Keep hanging around the right people. You got it? So I would submit to you, even though the scripture doesn't go on beyond that, he says, if you hang around the wise, you will become. So if you hang around with foolish people, you'll become. So the question is, you know, what you want to do? You know, how many, if you're from zero to, just say 25, wave at me. If you're zero from 25. No, if you're from zero to 30, wave at me. Zero to 30, wave. Wave. Okay, good. All right. No, and let me tell you why. Because, you know, Pastor's not that old, you got it, but I'm 41 now, you got it? And 41 is not old. Right. But I do notice that in my younger years, if I was going to make bad choices, at least me, I was more prone to make them back then than I ever am now. Does that make sense? You know, the older I get, it almost seems like the wiser I get. You understand? And I have less tolerance for things that I did when I was 19 and 20. So to all my peoples under 30, this is what you need to do. You need to really think about and pray where you're trying to go to in life. And then connect to people that are going where you want to go. To all my kids in middle school, amen. All my kids in middle school, high school, all my college students and that kind of thing, you know, I know it's cool to hang around, you know, the kids that's always wanting to be the class clown, always wanting to be the big show. But I'm just telling you, you got it. I'm just telling you, in the end, typically, not always, but typically, their GPAs are the ones that are the lowest. Typically, in the end, they're the ones that aren't really going anywhere and making anything happen. Does that make sense? And so, to all my young people, if you want to hang with the wise, you become wise. But if you hang around with fools, the Bible says your life will start falling to pieces. Which reminds me of Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I set before you life, set before you death, set before you blessings, set before you curse. If I was you, I would choose life. Watch this, that you and your seed may live. So the choices you make are not just for you, but it's for everybody around you. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers praying all over the building. Please, there's a few leaders that have to move, but other than that, if nobody can move.